But we're in the last week of our series on the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to touch on something today that most people struggle with because they have a hard time grasping the fact of how to deal with temptation. And why is it there? Why is it there? So let's look at the book of Luke. And as we go into it in chapter 11, starting in verse 1, it says, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples spoke to him, 'Lord,' he said, 'teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples.' Jesus said to them, 'When you pray, this is what you should say: Father, may your name be honored.' That was week one. May your kingdom come. 'Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us.' And week five, keep us from falling into sin when we are tempted." The reality is, when you are tempted, you will be. So he's saying, this is how you should look at it. Temptation is coming, but God gave me the grace not to fall in it. It's the reason why Jesus told Peter, "Peter, Satan has asked so he could sift you like wheat." Because the enemy knew what was about to happen in Peter's life. Peter was about to be raised up and elevated, and he was about to build his church, and Peter was going to be one of the founding apostles of that church. And the enemy was coming against Peter so much so that we know he denied him. He tried to get him to doubt who he was. And there was a real fight for Peter's life, real fight. It wasn't until Jesus went and restored him on the beach that he came back into right relationship with him. But I want you to know that nothing that you can do could ever separate you from God's love. Nothing. God knows where you are at all times. He'll come looking for you. Just when you think he's not there, he'll show up and say, "Hey, I'm here." God is so emotionally healthy that he doesn't need your affirmation of him to come to you. He doesn't need your ability to make him feel good about himself in order for you to come. He's so aware and so self-aware and self-sufficient that he understands who he is in spite of your weakness. And so I want to encourage you in this idea of temptation to know that it's not that it's not common. It is common. It's common. So let's give you an example. I woke up today and the enemy was battering my head with thoughts. The temptation would be, you know what? You're right. It's not going to change. So why bother getting up and doing it? So that's the temptation. The strength that you get on the opposite end is, but you know what? It might. Because he began the work, it is changing. The fact that you're hitting me with some stuff is a sign that it's changing. And I've been through too much to succumb to it doesn't mean I don't feel it. If you're trying to be non-feeling, I don't want to feel the pressure. I don't want to feel the temptation. You're going to miss out on the blessing of beating it. So you're not going to be kept from it, but you'll have the strength to come against it. It's whether or not you come against it now is another thing. If you decide that it's easier for me to sit and lay here and take it, then you miss out on the joy of overcoming and realizing what it means to walk like Jesus walked and be strengthened. So a couple things that we have to look for here is when you're tempted. Number one is this. You got to look for the door, man. I want you to think about this. Most people saw The Matrix when it came out years ago. Remember, there was always the door. There was no door, and then there was a door. Thank you. Literally, they walk in another realm. Neo. You know, the whole deal? And they walked in another realm, and it's like they always escaped just by going through the door. You know, that's your escape route is the door. And you might be saying, well, I don't know where the door is. The Lord will show you where the door is. There's always a door. Always a door. Here's an example. Don't eat of any of the fruit, just don't in the garden. Because if you do, you're going to die. Okay. Just don't eat of the tree. Just don't. Eat everything else. Cool. So the enemy comes in and says, all right, here's the fruit. Take it and eat it. Where's the door? No, thank you. God said we could have everything else here, but not that one. But this looked good, so I'll take it. And the enemy will always show you what looks good. Because if you partake in what looks good, there's always an element of bondage that comes along with it, right? I don't care how pleasurable it is. And I'm going to be very honest, there were certain things that took place in my life that felt very good at the time, but put me in bondage emotionally to myself. For years, and it took God a long time to get me out. It wasn't God's fault I fell in it. I was too stupid to go through the door that God had provided. And no stones being thrown, but you don't realize or know how to overcome temptation until you fall in it. So if you're looking to try to escape it and never experience it and fall into it, you're missing the point. The point is that you are going to fall into temptation. This is life. There is no escaping that. If you live any days here on earth, you will be tempted to fall in it. The question is, what do you do when you get in it? You're going to have to make a decision to either stay or climb out of it. But you're going to have to climb out of it. God will give you the grace to climb. He will not do it for you. I'm convinced there are certain things that God allowed me to be trapped in to show me how to get out. Because unless I learned those lessons, I would have walked in defeat the rest of my life every time I fell into something. Because I realized that, one, I'm not perfect. Two, his strength is made perfect in weakness. And three, I have the ability to climb out of any situation because by his grace, I can overcome. I want to help debunk the idea of failure today. Because I believe that some of you have this attitude that you failed and that you're never going to make it out of where you're at. And the reality of it is that, yes, you fall short. The Bible says that you fall short daily. You will never live up to God's perfect standard. But there's a difference between being perfect and being perfected. You will never be perfect, but you will be perfected. And the only way that perfection comes, quote, is through temptation, hardship, trial. That's the only way it comes. That's what God uses. Those are the tools. And if we can't come to grips with that, we will miss out on the opportunities for growth. And some of you say, well, are there any other opportunities? Can God use any other tools? No, he can't. What would you like God to do to help you grow? Have you ever had that conversation with yourself or God? Lord, I would like you to do something else to accomplish your purpose in my life. A couple things. You don't know his purpose fully for you. So for you to tell God to tailor something so that you feel more comfortable about where you're at, tells God that he doesn't know what he's doing, but you do. So if you feel that you have the bandwidth to actually get yourself to a perfected state, by all means, try. And I would say that most of you have tried. You don't have the capacity to save yourself. You don't have the capacity to perfect yourself. You are not that good. And you're not that strong. And that's where emotional health comes in, Sharon, because you have to have a healthy perspective of how weak you are by yourself, but how strong you are in him. So if I can't settle that I'm going to, in one of two ways, mess up in my head or mess up in what I do, if I can't settle that, I will walk in bondage the rest of my life for fear of being rejected by God. So I have to know that he already knows my thoughts afar off. He already perceives it. The great thing about God is he already saw your thought yesterday. He already saw that you were going to fall yesterday. But because of his death on the cross, once he died, once, and it was sufficient, that you now have power to get back up and try again. That's why the cross is so important. That's why his grace is so sufficient. It gives you the power to say no to sin and yes to him, so that when you get up again the next day, you can try again. And God says, my mercies are new every single day. My compassions don't fail. I got so much love for you today. Yesterday was bad, but I got love for you today. That's how good God is. And it's his grace that teaches you to overcome, not succumb. And this is where people miss it. They use grace as a license to do what they want. Well, I can do what I want because God will forgive me for whatever I want. And I would propose to you this way, that God's grace is not something that you use or abuse just so you can appease your conscience, but it is something that you use to overcome. That's why the Bible talks about grace being used as something to help you overcome, not to succumb. What kind of God would that be? Even Paul said it. Shall I keep on sinning that grace may abound? No. Why would I do that? Why would I test God in that arena and say, go ahead and forgive me now? Because your grace is sufficient. And God looks down and says, I don't have to forgive you. I died for you. I will forgive because it's in my nature and I honor my word above my very name. But understand this, don't abuse my grace. There will be consequences. It's one of the reasons why he says, listen, don't touch my anointed. Don't do my prophets any harm. You want God to react? Do those two things. Because God knows who are his and who are not. So if you feel like getting God on your side, honor him, honor those that you're in relationship with. If you feel like you want to alienate God, go ahead. Don't honor him, dishonor those you're in relationship with, live any way you want. God will dishonor you quick. It took one act of disobedience for God to take his spirit from Saul. One act. I want you to think at all your acts, plural, that you have done, that God's grace has still been sufficient and said, it's okay. And not to mention the fact that we used to say, well, I'm going to sin because he'll forgive me anyway later. It's a lot easier for me to do this now. And, you know, because I'm in the moment. You know the moment. But the problem with the moment is that for some of us, there are lasting consequences because of the moment. I know you enjoyed it for those 8 seconds. But now you got stuff you're dealing with the rest of your life. Now you tied into him because of that moment. I know you really didn't like what you did, or you felt like you shouldn't have done it, but you did it anyway because, hey, everyone's doing it. But was it really beneficial to you? No. Paul said, listen, everything's permissible. There's freedom. But not everything is beneficial. So I would go a little bit further. There are certain things God will not let me do. I don't care what anybody says, and you can argue with me until you die, but there are certain things God will not let me do. Even though all things are permissible, there are certain things God will not let me do and certain lines God will not let me cross because of what he's delivered me from and what he's brought me to. That is not an option. Changing who I am is not an option. Looking away is not an option when it comes to standing up for truth. There are certain things God will not allow me to do just because the Spirit of God has become so real to me on the inside. I can't deny him. I can't disown him. There's no way for me to turn. Even, and some of you might be in this match right now looking for, if I could just turn away so he won't bother me. But that's not in his nature. His eyes are constantly on you, whether or not you like it or not. trying to pull you back. Get your attention. Get your eyes right. Get your heart right. Because he knows what's lurking on the other side. There's an enemy who's just looking with a pistol, ready just to shoot. I'm just waiting for them to turn, because that gap in their life, that deficit in their life is so wide that all I have to do is shoot. And I got them. Because that hole is so big, and they can tell when it's not healed. And when something's not healed or something's not right, it's easier for you to fall. You don't think so? Okay, I want you to think of certain things that you have a propensity to do because there are certain weaknesses that you have. And a lot of times those weaknesses are from things that you have dealt with in your past, especially when it comes to your emotions or your mental state. And all the enemy has to do is tug. When you're feeling overwhelmed, just tug. And all of a sudden, you're back too. Instead of overcoming, now we're going backwards. And we don't like to talk about this stuff because no one likes to see ourselves as babies, right? We don't like to do that, right? Because we're mature now. We're Christians. I've been serving the Lord for 25 years. I've seen Jesus do miracles. I've seen him raise the dead. And in theory, we've seen Jesus do a lot of things, but in reality, there's stuff in our life that's still not right. That's why I believe when he talks in Matthew chapter 7, there are many who are going to say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And they're going to do all these things. Have we not healed? And didn't we cast out some stuff? And Jesus could look down and say, I never even knew you. You did all this stuff, all this thing. You did all these things, but you never had a relationship with me, because he said you did all this stuff, but inside, man, I was trying to make room for myself. I was trying to bring healing to areas of your life, because that's what I really want. I want a relationship based upon intimacy. I want you to hear me when I knock. When I speak, I want you to know my voice. That's what I'm looking for. He said, but I didn't know you. Do you know God? Are you so comfortable with what everybody else says that you can't hear God in the midst of it? Can you discern God's voice in the noise? Or are you so bent? Is your ear so bent to what everybody else is doing? It's very difficult to follow God and follow people at the same time. It can't do it. You just cannot do it. So if you're trying to do something for God and do something on a larger level for God, and Lord, use me and do what you want me to do, God said, okay, I'll take you up on that offer, but he's going to separate you. There's just no other way. You can't have it both ways. You can't have a relationship with someone and you're really into that person, and all of a sudden God's got to come along. God said, don't work that way. You're in a relationship with me. If they come, it's okay. If they go, it's okay. Are you cool? Are you cool? Because listen, when you follow me, everyone else takes a back seat. You got to know that, world. You follow me, everyone else takes a back seat. Mama, grandma, daddy, they all take a back seat to me. I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of Lords. When I speak, I mean it. And that's what we see a lot going on right now. The come to daddy meetings. You remember all those like meetings? Y'all have those meetings in your house when you're growing up? Family meeting time. Okay. And it really wasn't what you thought it was. It was something stupid. Why don't we have a meeting about this? Well, you know. That's not how it is with Jesus. When he separates you and it's time for a meeting, there's some things you got to talk about. You know, it's not one of those meetings like you're at work when they're talking to you via Zoom and on the side you're playing tic-tac-toe. Or you're playing Words with Friends with someone. You're like, I don't know what this guy's saying, but you're like, no, it's A. And you're just kind of doing the thing because you don't really care about what they're saying. It's not one of those things. When Jesus talks, it's like, ooh. Because when he gets in there and he's got your undivided attention, you can't look anywhere else. You're trying to. And that's the problem we have in the world right now. We're trying to get people's attention, and they're trying to look everywhere else. What do I do? How do I escape? How do I escape? Maybe I, no, you can't. Look at me. Not look to man, look to me. So if we've fallen, how do we get back up? There's no button that we push. Fallen, I can't get up. There's no button. There's no button. They're not coming. What do you do in a situation where things don't work out the way you think they're going to work out, and now you have a temptation, there's a temptation that says to quit, or what are you going to call? Who are you going to call? So it's five, Ghostbusters. I heard five people say, okay. You need to call a Ghostbuster. Because what happens is that what do you do in the midst of that temptation where it was supposed to work out the way you thought it was going to work out, but it didn't work out? Now what? The outcome is very rarely what you think it should be. And we want the outcome. The outcome's got to be perfect. It's got to be pristine. It's got to be immaculate. Lord, if you want me to follow you, I need the deets. I need to know where we're going. Doesn't work that way. You are on a need-to-know basis. When I tell you to make a right, make a right. I don't care if Siri says make a left. I'm telling you to make a right. Let me give you a small example from yesterday, right? It ties in. So yesterday, we went down to Fort Myers, and, you know, everyone's got iPhones, and some have the 4s. Some have the 10s and whatever it is, and everyone's dealing with all their gadgets, and, you know, we put in the maps. And so I had a certain set of directions that took us this way. They had a certain set of directions that took them that way. And so what happened was my direction was taking me without tolls, and it was taking me through I-4 and all that stuff. And I'm like, man, I'm not arguing with Siri today. Whatever you take me, take me. Because I don't know where next level, I don't know where next level is, but I know we're going to get there eventually in 2 hours and 27 minutes. But, and then I got a call, hey, where are you going? I'm like, I know where I'm going. I'm just following her. Well, listen, go off here. And eventually I went back in, and the one below it, because I was trying to avoid tolls, I know how to get down south. Got to go over the Skyway. This one wasn't taking me there. So I went down, and I said, yeah, that's the one. I got to just press the one. So, hour and 47 minutes, right? If I would have listened to Siri, there was no one else around me. If I didn't have another van or someone else, I would have got there an hour later than I was supposed to. Just because someone tells you something doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. I don't care how programmed it is. It doesn't take the place of the Holy Spirit's influence in your life. I just don't care. So eventually you look back and say, yeah, I probably should have done that, but it was fun. And we were going to get there anyway, and that would have been good. But we could have cut down the time. If I would have went with already what I knew. But in general, and this is what we do, the Holy Spirit's influence is the correct influence. It's the right one. But what we do is that we let other people dictate how we're supposed to live and where we're supposed to go. Because we'll get there. Will you? Eventually, but maybe not. Because sometimes what people do is people like to give you directive because they don't have any. They're trying to give you directions. And like, man, where are you going? I don't know. But all I know is that this is what I feel like you should do. And the reality is, what is God telling you to do? That's why counseling, I'm cool with counseling to a point. And I've told Maria this. We've had conversations about this. I'm cool with counseling to a point. What is God telling you to do? What is he telling you to do? Well, you tell me what to do. Incorrect. What is God telling you to do? Thank you for the validation. I don't need you to fix me. Show me a better way. Show me the door next time. I don't need you to feed my dysfunction. Just help me see the door so I can escape getting in the pit and get to where I need to get quicker. I know pits are going to come, but all I know is that there's an urgency in my spirit that I've got to find doors quicker, and I got to avoid the pit as much as I can, because I have to get to where I need to go faster, because God's setting some stuff up, and I can't afford to miss it. I can't. So I need you just to help me see it. That's all I need. I don't need you to tell me. Just help me. Just do it. Because the Holy Spirit will illuminate things to me. Thank you, I got it. And let's move on. Let's move on. Unhealthy relationships tie you into them and not God. I cannot get tied into you. I love you. I cannot get tied into you. Because what happens is now your mess becomes my mess, and we walk around like two overweight people carrying stuff that we're not supposed to carry, and the Lord can't get in, and we sing songs like, I will make room for you, and God says, I would love to come in, but you got to separate. And this is the problem with people. God's coming in and throwing shoulders and trying to get y'all to separate because people are so tied into one another. It's hard. They're tied in emotionally. They're tied in mentally. And people are having a hard time getting a hold of God. And people are going through emotional healing. And God's ripping stuff out. And God's breaking stuff down. And he's doing things in their life. And he's trying to get them to see because they can't see because their sight's been blinded because who they've been rolling with. You don't know how blind you've been until God separates you from something that says, ooh. They've been sick the whole time. You've been sick the whole time. And you don't even see that until God comes in and breaks you free from something and says, hey, that was unhealthy. You right? I'll give you that. Because we don't like to admit to God right away. It's delayed. Until later on, we're like in the corner. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh my God, thank you, Lord, for delivering me from that. They were hellish. Thank you. And then what's up? How you doing? Everybody good? You don't do it like this. What's up? You come to church on Sunday, you're in a better mood because God just did something for you. Like, how you doing? I feel good today. I feel really good. Thank you, Jesus. In your heart, you're like, I will make room. I made room and you did it. Thank you, Lord. Whatever you want to. Thank you for the door, because you actually went through that one. Thank you, Jesus, and you're praising God. And some of you, God has done things in your life. You don't tell anybody, man, that's cool, but you're thanking God because of what he did. Because if he didn't do it, you'd still be tied in. That's why sometimes there's no rhyme or reason when praise comes out of your mouth. It just comes out at unopportune times. You're just thanking God. You heard some, oh, thank you, Jesus, I ain't tied there anymore. Because you made room. And when you make room, it gives God permission to do something. Third thing is this. If you do fall, what do you do? And I ended last week with this same point. You got to pardon yourself. You got to forgive yourself along the way. And we talked about this in Team Rally this morning on how what we do is we know in theory that God forgives us. We know it because we can sense, even in the midst of our dysfunction, we can sense we're loved. But we don't fully accept ourselves because we still feel like if we're not there yet, that it's hard for us to relax and receive the love of God again. We know God loves us, but until it's fixed in us, it's hard for us to move with God. Because we still feel like there's a wedge that's there, like God's just waiting me to get it perfect. The moment you said, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me for that. And you turn, God said, I got you. Now, the next time we come up to it, let's get it right. And what happens is, it's not that God's trying to catch up to you. You're trying to catch up to God. God's already forgiven you, but we got to catch right back up. We're already in right standing, but we got to catch right back up because our emotions are slow. They're slow. We know, and you know what I'm talking about. Come on, don't like hide. You know what I'm talking about. It's like we know he's forgiven us, but there's still that, Lord, I know, but I still did. And we don't feel like we're right, and we don't feel like we have the right to ask God for anything. But until we get to the point where we recognize that God loves you in spite of you, that we'll never make progress. We got to get there quicker, man. Listen, forgive yourself. We talked about, this whole series has been about giving you a framework on how to do this right. So I got to ask for forgiveness. Yes, I do. I got to forgive. You got to forgive me. I got to forgive you quicker. And we got to forgive God for allowing it, and we got to move on quicker. Because what we have, a lot of people walk around and ever see like a dog literally chasing their tail? My dog does it sometimes. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. You ain't going to catch it, bro. You ain't going to catch it. He's still doing it in circles. You're going to throw up. It's going to be disgusting. And we got to clean it. Because all you're doing is change. This is what you do. And this is what the body of Christ is doing. They do this. They're trying to catch something that's already, you can't catch. We go around in circles. I'm trying to get God's love. I'm trying to get it. Where is it? Stop. It's already there. It's already there. You worked yourself up, and you worked yourself up so much, you're full of fear, doubt, and you want to throw up because the anxiety is so bad, because you don't feel like God loves you enough to forgive you, or like he can't redeem that. And what we do is we have a hard time connecting with God because we're trying to chase something to fix it. We can't fix. You can't fix yesterday. It's dead. We keep running around trying, and you know what that means. And man, I'm not ready to go with you. Don't worry about it. So what we do is sometimes we try to talk ourselves free. The more we talk about it, well, if I talk about it enough, then I'll be justified and God will love me. And then I'll get a peace of mind because somebody will affirm me. Yes, you're right. God loves you. He's got a plan for your life. And that's what we're looking for. Are you sure? Because I don't feel that. And all of a sudden we go back and forth. Yes, he loves you. How's your relationship with God? It's good, but I still feel. And there's all this stuff going on, all this noise going on, all this stuff being thrown at us. Why? And all it's revealing, we got work to do in you. All that stuff, you got work to do. Why? You're still rehashing stuff, man. And a lot of people do this. You ever have people who talk too much? A lot of times they talk too much because they're insecure. I'm an extrovert. I'm not talking about you being an extrovert or not, but sometimes people talk so much because they need validation and they're missing where it should be coming from. I cannot be in a one-sided conversation with somebody. It is very difficult for me to sit there and listen to you. We had a 20-minute conversation and I nodded my head 6 times. And I could not say anything. They felt better, but I don't. Sometimes when you're talking to God, you just gotta thank you and just listen. Because we're trying to fight stuff. We're trying to fight yesterday. We fight, oh my God, I'm sorry, we fight yesterday. We're fighting the stuff. We got the enemy's throwing stuff out. We're trying to fight yesterday. I don't know, Lord. All I know is that it's dead. Sometimes you got to say it's already dead. Thank you, Lord, Son of the Blood. I'm moving on. That this is the day you have made. I want to rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks for working it out in my life. This is dead. I can't do anything about it now. And the enemy's just trying to throw interference at you because he knows once you get free from it, anything's possible. That's, yes, Lord, that's why he knows there's about to be a crazy, it's about to be released in the body, like crazy good. That's why he's fighting everybody. He keeps peppering it. Yeah, come on, another sickness, another depression, another confusion, tradition, all this stuff coming up. Oh, they always do that. Let's get in a fall back into the old pattern again. Just keep going back in. Yeah, keep thinking about what they didn't get. Keep thinking about how good they are not. Keep thinking, all this stuff, keep throwing them. And all God's doing is say, keep looking at me. Here's the door. Remember me. Keep ducking. Here's the door. Look for the light. Remember what I showed you. Remember how good I was. Remember where I took you from. And just keep looking at it because that's how you live. He's coming at you. Here's a shield. Cut down. There's a sword. He's coming at your head. I got the helmet of salvation on. Man, you'll never be good enough. Nah, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, all that stuff. Man, you don't have anything to say. Wait, my feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Yes, I do. And so all of a sudden, you got armor on, but the enemy's trying to throw it at you. How secure is it? You know what secures it? The belt of truth. What are you believing? What you believe about it is going to dictate how effective you are. If you don't believe every time you wield the sword, it's going to work. You have a blunt blade and you are not going to be effective. And this is what we have in the body. Christians just waving their swords around like they're drunk. Yes. Yes. God's good. You don't even know what you're swinging at. Because they got nothing to hold it. They're not standing on truth. Everybody stand up if they could. We're going to end with freedom today. We're going to end on a high note. But this is what I want you to think about during the song. There's a point in the song where it says, let there be freedom. That is a prophetic saying. Let there be freedom. Thank you. I don't necessarily feel it or see it. But let there, Lord, be freedom. Help me to get there. In the midst of all the stuff that's happening in my life, in the midst of all the interference, all the confusion, Lord, let there be freedom. Help me to break out of that so I can come up into what you have for me, because I know that freedom is really what I'm after. Lord, forgive me for falling into the trap. Thank you, Lord. It was set. I fell into it. It's cool. I learned some stuff about it. But freedom is where I'm at. And let me just say this. You have freedom to fall. Don't think that you have to stay up all the time. I'm up. I don't fall. I don't make mistakes. You're going to fall tomorrow. We become very robotic. I'm not going to fall. I'm perfect in him. Yeah. You're going to make mistakes. You have the freedom to fail, but not stay there. You are not a failure because you fail. You become that in your head when you feed it. How do I beat it? How do I become successful? I've learned how to fail. Get back up, do it again. And God gives me the victory and the strength to overcome it. But the way I overcome it is by first succumbing to it. How do you learn? But once you overcome it, there's no grace to go back and learn it again. You did that already. You overcame it. God said, now, we don't go back there. We're here. There's no grace there. Today's lesson is today's lesson, class. Let me ask you this, show of hands. Enemy's been throwing stuff in your head, just about reminding you of some stuff, just about just failure. You're never going to beat it. Just failure. Lord, you said, who the Son sets free is free indeed. No financial mishap. No issue emotionally. No thing from our past will affect us going into our, make that declaration today. Let there be freedom in this house. Let there be freedom in your people. Help them to see that they have the authority inside of them to overcome. They already have it. Help them to learn the lessons faster so they can get to where you have them to go quicker. Enemy would tell you that you'll have no place in this house. You'll have no place in the lives of your people and the God's people. We thank you that on the other side of the test, there's blessing. There's blessing. Lord, we know that there are times that you lead us into seasons of testing in our life. It's biblical. You lead us into seasons of testing. You led Jesus into the wilderness. Help us when you lead us there to rely on you. Thank you, God, that we're not going to have to stay where we are longer than we have to. Wake your people out of slumber. Wake them up out of apathy. God, I come against every spirit of despair and failure in this house. I pray that, God, people know that they are loved by you. They're accepted by you. That they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Help them quicker to walk out of condemnation, to walk into peace. Because we know it's the peace of God that passes understanding that's going to guard our heart and mind in you. In Jesus' name.